The reason we're talking about these things is that we don't want to be people who know all the right things but aren't practically benefiting it because we're not doing. Whatever you think about being a follower of Jesus, if you have removed the doing from it, then you have settled for something that has the form of godliness, but it is lacking power. Right? And we don't want to be like that. Okay? And it doesn't matter where you're at in the Lord. If you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, or if you just started walking with the Lord, or you're helping somebody who just started walking with the Lord, one of the things that we have to have in the core of our thinking about following him is it's an action. It is an active, acting, action life. And so therefore, it's important that we learn and remind ourselves about how to do things. Okay? And even if it's kind of a review or you've already been doing these things, you're never harmed by being reminded. There's always opportunity for refinement in that situation. And there's also opportunity for you to be deliberate in thinking about, how do I help so-and-so who's far younger than me and doesn't know his left hand from his right hand? How do I do? And we started about, how do you start your day? And the goal of that was just to start by recognizing two things. We want to acknowledge him. We want to acknowledge him. And secondly, we want to sow things. Okay? Now, I started by giving three foundational principles that we have to use for whatever you do. Number one, you're already forgiven. Okay? So if you've been a slacker all these years, there's no reason to continue being a slacker. And that actually, if you stop to think about it, is wonderful news. There is a tendency in us, let me use a physics word. Has anybody heard the word inertia before? Inertia is the tendency for something to just keep on doing what it's doing, right? So in physics, if you study physics, inertia is the tendency for something that's at rest to stay at rest, or something that's in motion to stay exactly in that motion. Okay, it's a fundamental property of the universe that we live in. And we can see that in the life of people too. Okay, even though we're not talking about physical inertia there, I just keep doing it because that's the way I've always done it. I just always keep doing what I've always done. And we don't want to be people who are just doing something because that's just what I've always done. We want to understand, how do things work? Well, first of all, even if I have been in this mode of doing something just because I've always done it this way, doesn't mean I can't stop and change. It's very important we understand that the gift of God towards us in Jesus having paid for our sins means we don't have to continue in a way of death for the rest of our lives because we spent so many years in it. Today is the day of salvation. That should be very near and dear to your heart, for yourself and for those that you interact with. That when you think about what is possible for so-and-so, part of your thinking involves, but today is a day of salvation. If that person was willing to change, God would help them. It's never too late until it's too late, if I can put it that way. Okay, after you're dead, you don't need to be concerned about it anymore. But while you still have breath, today is a day of salvation, you can change. And it's because of the blood of Jesus, right? So please embrace. God has no problem with you. He really doesn't, but he wants better for you. So change if you need to. Wherever it's necessary, don't be embarrassed. Don't let the embarrassment and the shame of not having actually done what you were supposed to do keep you from doing it now. Right? Oh, I don't want anybody to know that I don't read the Bible. So I'll just continue to stop not reading the Bible but not let anybody know about it. Well, no. Who cares if somebody knows that you aren't the Bible expert that everybody thinks you are? Start now. You don't even have to publicize it. Just act. Do. Okay? The freedom that is ours because of the blood of Jesus means today itself I can change. That is a precious gift. It was for freedom, meaning I don't have to be bound by my old ways of doing things. I am granted permission to change. Okay? It has not yet come to the time where that scripture says, okay, the one who is sleeping, let him keep sleeping. We're not there yet. Today is the day of salvation. It is a day of grace. I can change. Okay? So that's wonderful. Number two. This is not in order of importance. They're all connected together. The issue at the end of the day is always going to be faith. Okay? So all of these things that we practice have, at least at its basis, developing the practice of believing the Lord in us. Okay? If you're anything like me, it's not hard to be manipulated to the point where we think of faith as that thing that extraordinarily, I believe God for this extraordinary miracle, and then the rest of my life is just me doing whatever I do. My whole life is to be about faith. So there is a place for the gift of faith, if I could put it this way, the supernatural, the Holy Spirit gift of faith to come. And all of a sudden you're able to believe for something that is just outside what you would normally believe. Fair enough. But there is also a way of life that builds the pattern of believing the Lord. And so these things that we're talking about, how to start your day, or whatever else we talk about, they do have at its root building a lifestyle of faith. Okay? I don't mean a lifestyle of miracles. Fine, that's available to us. But I mean the way you do things is in such a way as to continually build on the gift of faith that you have. By build, I don't mean you get more and more faith, because we don't need more faith. Mustard seed is enough. But we need more of the practice of faith. How does that happen? Well, faith comes by hearing. So we sow the word into our lives so that step by step, bit by bit, brick by brick, a strong foundation of just expecting of God is there. I mean, the people that I'm speaking to in this room, at the very least, I know many of you well enough to say with confidence where what you expect of God today is very different than what you expected of God 5 years ago, 10 years ago, in the sense that you've progressed. There are certain things that you just expect God to do that you actually would not have expected it 10 years ago. It is the product of walking with God now to this point that there are things that you just automatically think that when somebody who doesn't think that way comes across you, you're sort of taken aback. Like, isn't this obvious? And you forget, it wasn't always obvious to you either. It is because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit through you being faithful with little things that you may have even discarded or disregarded by now, that there is a foundation within you. And we're talking about, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's not be persuaded to not keep going because, well, it's too late for me. I've always done this. I'm never going to change. Whatever. As I said to you, you want to go to Edmonton? You find yourself going to Lethbridge? Don't go around the whole planet to get back to Edmonton. Just turn around. Just turn around. Jesus gives you that freedom. Right? The devil persuades us it's too late, but he's a liar. And the third thing, and if there is anything that really is important, I pray that you embrace this in everything that is a part of your life. The most important thing in my life is my friendship with God. It is the whole point of my life. I'm an engineer. Norman's a carpenter. At least I was trained as an engineer. Norman's a carpenter, amongst many other things. You know, some of us are housewives or house husbands. That's just context. What my life is really about is a friendship with God. Okay, that's why, as I said to you before, when we're talking about death, there is something about the whole experience of death available to us. Why? I didn't say this before, but because you're God's friend. He wants to show you something about it. He wants you to see the value and the preciousness of what Jesus did that allows you to not be affected by death as it would affect somebody who doesn't have a friendship with God. You know, I sometimes think of, when I think about people who are in trouble, and you look and see how they're living their life, it's like they don't realize, how should I put this? Your friendship with God is like a boat. And if your friendship with God is broken, then there's lots of holes in your boat. And then whatever you go through, the boat keeps filling up. And you have all this extra trouble because your boat is not seaworthy. But the more your friendship with God is whole and developing and growing, it's like you're fixing all these holes in your boat. And because your boat is doing well, it can carry you across the ocean. It can carry you through whatever waves come about or whatever it is, because your boat is seaworthy. Because your boat is seaworthy, you can sail through trouble. It's when my boat is not seaworthy that I have trouble with waves. I'm spending all my time bailing the water here, and then this is going on, and this is going on, and this is going on. That is the experience of this up and down thing. Now, the wonderful thing is God is God, and He's faithful, and He rescues us in the midst of trouble. He does. He really does. But we need to go from the experience of, even when I was in trouble, God rescued me, to, I just always expect Him to rescue me. I just always expect Him to show up. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Not when I am afraid, I will do this. Now, you know that there are scriptures that talk about what to do when you are afraid. So I'm not trying to imply you will never be afraid. But Psalm 46 is uncovering for us this revelation, this reality that because I know that God is my refuge and strength, I'm not going to be afraid. Even if the whole earth gets thrown into the sea, I'm cool. We have to get there. I'm not denying that. But I just wanted to sort of give you an example of what I'm trying to talk about here. The most important thing in your life is your friendship with God. Whatever is going on, are you sick and you need a miraculous healing? Are you lazy and you are reaping the consequences of it? Are you overwhelmed with what life is going, with the complications of the situations that you have at work or at home or your family? Whatever it is, the real underlying issue is friendship with God. It is an opportunity. And you need to see it as that. You need to see your life as mainly about a friendship with God. So, an engineer who has a friendship with God, a housewife who has a friendship with God, an IT specialist who has a friendship with God, a person who has a really messy family but has a friendship with God. That's the real point of your life. And everything about it, therefore, needs to have that in view. Why do I not fake my vaccine passport? Because I have a friendship with God and I don't want to injure it. Not because I could be put in, I don't know what they would do to you if you got caught. What can they do to you? Not because I could get away with it. I have a friendship with God and that matters to me. Why should I not, why should I tithe? Or why should I fill in the blank? Because I have a friendship with God and it matters to me. I want to do what I do because of my friendship with God. I want to not do what I don't do, or you know what I mean. I want to not do things I should not do because I have a friendship with God and that matters to me. It is the whole core of our being and it will keep you on track. Another way to say what I just said is, fear the Lord. In the right sense of that idea for those of us who belong to the Lord. Fear the Lord is not to be terrified of Him, though He is terrifying. Okay, in a context, He certainly is terrifying, but a fear of the Lord that Jesus had, a reverence for Him. Everything Jesus did was centered on, you understand that me using the word friendship is really understating the case. But I'll put it this way, even though I think you right away recognize the weakness of the word. Jesus had a friendship with His Father that motivated everything that He did. There, it's not hard to imagine that the majority of people in Judea at that time who were sick did not get healed. Do you remember that guy who was in the temple that John and Peter ministered to, and Peter picked him up? And that guy would have been there when Jesus was there. Jesus would have walked by that guy. Why? Because he would have had a sense from His Father to leave it for now. Something else is going to be happening with that one. He would have had a sense, I'm obviously imagining, but and I don't mean to say, thus saith the Lord, but Jesus would have had a sense, leave him for now. It'll be taken care of in due time, better than if it was dealt with now. How do you do that? If all you have are rules and regulations, I'm supposed to heal everybody, then there's no stone left unturned. You go and find people to get healed. But He didn't have a rule, even though He is the healer. Everything about Him was healing is the will of God. Restoration is the will of God. Everything about him was, but he had such a developed, refined friendship with God. His whole heart was, I want you to be pleased. Not I want to follow the party line. I want you to be honored. I want you personally to be pleased with what I choose. He knew when to step in and when not to. When all we have is rules, we don't have that sense. When do I leave it off? Somebody is dying. It's time to pray that they go quick. What? We believe in healing. We believe in healing. Thus says the Lord, I am the Lord who heals you. I stand against it. I'm not criticizing us because that's what we're like. But I just want to say there's even more available. There is this sensitivity to the Lord that he is cultivating in us as we work together with him. Whatever is going on, the real issue is your friendship with God. Did your car break? The real issue is your friendship with God. Did your car blow up? The real issue is your friendship with God. Did somebody you know pass away? The real issue is your friendship with God. So everything we're doing is talking about cultivating, developing, growing in our friendship with God. We talked about how to start our day. Let me finish. I'm going to take 1 minute to read it and just point things out. Matthew chapter 13. Starting your day is about sowing and reaping, as we're about to say. Then one of the next things I want to talk about is how do we use his word? And I'm hopeful that you guys will help me with that. How to use his word. Okay? Because his word is not a book that you're supposed to be just filled with the information of. It's something to be used. Right? So how do we do that? But obviously, 2 minutes left. And then next week, we are starting ready for Christmas and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get there. But I do want to say it from the outset. How to use his word has to do with sowing and reaping. It has to do with sowing and reaping. It's such a fundamental thing. He spoke many things to them. This is verse 3 in chapter 13. In parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And you know from your familiarity with this passage that he goes on to explain that the seed being sown is the word of God. Now, there is a context, obviously, for this parable that is a little bit different than what we're talking about. He's talking about how the kingdom works in the sense of how does a person come into it? How do they interact with it? But the underlying principle is the kingdom works on the basis of seed being sowed. Okay? That is true about how a person gets born again. Okay? That is true also about a person who was born again benefiting from the deeper aspects of the kingdom of God. When we say the phrase kingdom of God, we don't just mean Jesus is a king, or some weird idea like that. We don't just mean that time coming when Jesus will rule over all the earth. Obviously, it has that, but an aspect of the kingdom of God that we need to embrace is his will being done here on earth as a sort of an advance for it. You know how, for example, in World War II, as part of the invasion that the Allies did to take over, to recover Europe, they sent in paratroopers. Right, they were sort of like the advanced force that they would drop into enemy territory to get things ready for the main force. In a sense, we're like that. We are agents of the kingdom to see the will of the king being done in our lives and lives around us. Okay? So the way that works also involves sowing and reaping. And I'll just finish my time by saying, so therefore, whatever you think about in terms of let me start my day like this or how I use my word, how I use his word, why should I speak it out loud, for example, whatever. Or what is going on in my heart? Why am I having so much trouble breaking through in this area? Okay? Understand that there's going to be an issue of sowing and reaping. So how we use the word is in a matter of sowing. We need to embrace, okay, there's something to be sown so that there's something to be reaped. I'm tired of sowing trouble. So let me sow something different. Why is this always happening to me? That should be the first sign to you. Oh, have I been sowing something that leads to this? We need to come out of the mindset that says, whatever happens, just happens. You have no explanation for it. There are some things that are beyond our explanation, no question. But not everything is in that category. Sometimes the reason why you have what you have in your experience is because of what you've been sowing, and it hasn't been what God said to sow. So what do we do in that situation? Repent and sow something better. Now, in our instant fix generation, if it's not fixed by tomorrow, we think it's failed. But that's not how seeds work. It's not how seeds work. You know, Warren, I'm putting him on the spot slightly, but let me stop. Warren every year has to go and deal with a field that he has that gets overgrown with weeds. You still do that, right? Yeah. Only thing is, his weed control is him with a weed whacker, because it's for all sorts of reasons. So he gets it all dealt with and it's gone. Next year, there's weeds again. Why is that? Well, yeah, you could spray Roundup, I guess. That's pretty nasty. But well, why is that? Well, because there's seeds still in the ground. And even though it looks like it's dealt with, because the seeds that are still there haven't been dealt with, something else goes. One of the ways to deal with that is to plant something much better. Like if you have one effective way of dealing with weeds in your garden is plant something better that overwhelms the weeds. The weeds get choked out. Right? These are things that we can draw from and learn from. But understand, the issue at the end of the day, friendship with God, what are you sowing and reaping? And that all in the context of I'm already forgiven, so I don't have to mess with, oh, how could God help me after all these years? What do you mean, how could God help you after all these years? For the same reason he could help you if it was the first time you did it. It's not like he has a better reason than the blood of Jesus 15 times from now versus the first time. The blood of Jesus is the blood of Jesus. It's the entire reason why we're helped. And he knows how to perfect faith in me. He knows how to do it. I just have to work together with him. Okay, thank you for your time. Father, again, pursue us with these things. Pursue us with these things to the point that they are effective in us to bring things that are pleasing to you. Let it bear fruit pleasing to you. Where there are things that we have sown that need to be uprooted and replaced, then we ask for that, for help with that. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring us into the wisdom and the mind of the way of God concerning these things so that we're not merely reacting to what life is doing, but we are proactively getting ready for what we want. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father.